Google asserting its AI dominance Wednesday at its biggest event of the year, the I/O Developers Conference. CEO Sundar Pichai announcing a new product called Google Lens, which can recognize and identify things in the real world, like a flower or a restaurant, which Google Assistant will then display reviews for. That puts parent company Alphabet's artificial intelligence far ahead of Apple's Siri or Amazon's Alexa.
We have written to the European authorities, namely the EU commissioner and the Ministry of Transport, to say that we were concerned about this US ban on electronic devices. We think that it could impose an additional cost of more than $1 billion on passengers.
A high possibility of conflict between the Koreas. That's what the South's President Moon Jae-in told local media Wednesday, the strongest warning yet since he took office last week. Pyongyang is pressing ahead with nuclear programs it says it needs to counter U.S. aggression, while Moon is pushing for talks on top of sanctions to rein in the North.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Thursday. It's May 18th, 2017. Glad to have you here for another edition of The Opening Bell, another business day. Lots to cover this morning. A little bit later in the program, new report from the Federal Reserve shows household debt is now the highest it has been since the 2008 housing crisis, $12.73 trillion in the first quarter. We'll be talking with a reporter from Reuters, Jonathan Spicer, later on. He's got the numbers, and we'll do a little analysis on this. It is a big deal, and perhaps some advice on how you can get out of debt as well later in the program. We'll have the latest on the markets, too, momentarily. But the big news of the morning is obviously the special prosecutor in Washington that was announced yesterday. You heard some of the other top stories there in our opening montage, but this one is impacting the markets this morning. The former FBI director, Robert Mueller, has been appointed by the deputy attorney general at the Justice Department to be now a special prosecutor. This doesn't happen all the time. It is an historic day, a moment for the United States, as he will now investigate all things Russia. It is impacting the markets. Lots of nervous investors right now on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. Dow futures are off triple digits again this morning, 101 points. The NASDAQ and S&P futures are lower as well. It is going to be another rough ride on markets today. The volatility index is high as well today. Yesterday, it was up almost 20%. There's no reason to believe it will not be there again today. In Asia, markets are lower. The Nikkei off almost 1.5%, off 261 points. The Asian Dow, the Hang Seng, the Shanghai all lower as well. And the same story in Europe this morning, all red arrows pointing downward. The FTSE, the DAX, the CAC all off about 1.5% to almost 2%. European shares this morning lower. Some other stories we're watching for you. Japan reports that its economy grew at a faster than expected 2.2% annual pace in January through March. Economists had forecast a strong expansion in the first quarter, helped by a recovery in exports and consumer spending. Figures are preliminary. They could be revised. Obviously, Japan is something we pay attention to. It's one of the biggest economies in the world. Also today, we have heard from the Koch brothers. You know their names. Their political network spends millions of dollars every year on political campaigns. They now say that they will release a set of general preferences for major changes to the tax code. They're also going to launch over the summer political ads that push the agenda of President Trump. Not necessarily the whole agenda, but these tax victims that now many feel may fall victim to the mounting political challenges in Washington. You also heard in our opening montage yesterday, the big Google showcase, lots of things being unveiled by Google. Among other things, Google unveiled ways for its massive network of computers to identify images as well as recommend, share, and organize photos. It also launched an attempt to make its voice-controlled assistant more proactive and visual while expanding its audience to Apple's iPhone, where it will try to outwit its older peer Siri. That's right. You can download now Google's assistant on your iPhone, and maybe it and Siri can argue during the day about certain things. It is Thursday. That means it's time for our Thought Leader Conversation. We do it every week. It's the Associated Bank Thought Leader Conversation. And Breck Hansen is with us this morning. Breck is the Vice Chairman and former head of commercial real estate at Associated Bank. We are going to talk a little bit about the economy and trends in real estate and banking. Breck, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
The flowers are up and interest rates appear to be going there. Perhaps in June, another interest rate. What do you think?
Well, the futures market tell you that it's pretty likely in June. I've heard things in the past few weeks that may tend to fight that. I've said before that banks have projected interest rates for the last 8 to 10 years and been wrong all the time. I mean, and when I say all the time, all the time. And that in this case, you know, I think I'll tell you what we're thinking. We're kind of thinking not as aggressive in terms of the increase as we originally thought. Mm-hmm. It could be June, could be later, could be one time, could be twice in 2017. Yeah. But it doesn't appear that the economy itself is really moving strong enough to fuel it like that.
Yeah, and people are saying that the sluggishness in the economy in the first quarter was transitory. I keep hearing that phrase over and over, that perhaps it's not going to be that bad as we go through the second quarter and beyond. What are your thoughts on the first quarter, and what's so sluggish out there?
Well, I think there's some truth to that. And but when you think about people making decisions, the toughest time to make a decision is in periods of uncertainty. And what I mean by that is if you know you're on the way down, you make decisions. Or if you know the equity markets are going to sustain or even grow beyond where they've grown, you make decisions in terms of liquidating stock, making purchases, et cetera. It's the uncertainty thing when you're getting ready to construct a home and, you know, your wealth is now increased because of your investment in equities, and you're going to construct that home over the next 6 to 12 months, and you don't know what that equity portfolio is going to look like in 6 to 12 months. And, you know, there's a lot of good things happening in the economy, but I think that uncertainty has a lot to do with it.
What do you think is the most concerning of all of that? People have been pointing toward GDP as one of them. Others is the economy. The wages of folks are not growing as fast as they possibly should. Are those the two keys, do you think?
Well, like I said, I think if you dig into the specifics, yes. GDP, wages. You know, I think even now, if you look at the political side, at least you're hearing more about the 2018 election and what that might do to the Senate or the House. And I go back to all those things may contribute, but I think just the uncertainty that's out there, and by the way, I don't think this administration is extremely behind in delivering its promises. But this is America, and we want it now. And until those things start to happen, I think we're going to have a sluggish economy.
Yeah, lots of folks are saying that more and more people who were on the Trump trade, who were optimistic after the election, are starting to be a little skeptical. Am I hearing from you that maybe they should be a little bit more patient?
Well, that's my opinion.
Okay.
I'm not sure if the people on the Trump train are as skeptical as the media might want it to sound. It certainly is an easy thing to attack when, you know, clearly there's been some stumbles.
Breck, hang on with us. We're going to take a break here. Breck Hansen, the Vice Chairman, former head of commercial real estate at Associated Bank, in our Thought Leader Conversation this morning.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. Angst over events in Washington had investors in retreat on Wednesday. The Dow Jones lost 372 points, closing at 20,607, the biggest one-day point drop for the Dow in 8 months. The S&P 500 lost 43 points. The NASDAQ was down 158. Overnight, Asian stock benchmarks skidded lower as Washington's political chaos made overseas investors more nervous about risky assets and the outlook for President Trump's business-friendly proposals. The Koch brothers political network is preparing to spend millions of dollars to inject new urgency into the stalled tax debate. They also promise an ad campaign to run through the summer. The bee industry is buzzing over the arrest of a man accused of stealing thousands of beehives worth nearly $1 million from California's almond orchards, one of the biggest such thefts on record. Beekeepers move their colonies around the country by truck and rent them out to farmers to pollinate their flowering crops. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. It's 523. We're on this morning with Breck Hansen. It's our thought leader conversation. Breck is the vice chairman, former head of commercial real estate at Associated Bank. Breck, before the break, we were talking just briefly about some of the economic trends. One of them you mentioned in the open was a possible rate hike coming, perhaps in June, perhaps not. What's the first thing that we will see impacted by that?
You know, the one they talk about a lot is banks. And we've got, you know, you increase interest rates, well, that changes income rates. It changes the demand for debt because people borrow more because their expenses go up. And then it's difficult to say, but banks in general have a positive arbitrage when rates are going up. Basically, we'll raise the rate on your debt quickly, but the industry will hold off the rate on your investments or your CDs or your deposits. And so that 25 basis point arbitrage is a chance to make a little extra money for the banks when rates go up. Conversely, when rates go down, it squeezes us.
Yeah, because you guys have really been out in the desert there for quite a few years, haven't you, in terms of not being able to make the money that you probably would like.
We'd like you to think that, yeah. and it isn't all interest rate. A lot of it is regulation. We've talked about that before. So interest rates go up. Certainly banks are the winners. Losers, we talked a little earlier about construction. Very likely those construction markets might move down. People have talked, you know, When you talk about interest rate changes and it's all about me, well, mortgage rates have started to increase. And people have either refinanced quickly if they have to, if they've been on ARMs and gone long term to lock in a rate, or they're looking at that building or buying and they're thinking, you know what, I've got a pretty good mortgage right now. I'm still in the high twos or low threes. I can't replace that. Why don't I do some home improvement, or why don't I do something with my existing property? So I think the construction market and what goes on, single-family homes, certainly is affected.
Some other debt-intensive industries, you mentioned construction. What would some of those other be? I'm thinking manufacturing.
Telecom, manufacturing, you know, certainly the real estate business. Although I think when you talk about the commercial real estate business, rates are so historically low that the commercial real estate industry should be able to take another 25 to 75 basis points and not have a huge effect on what they're trying to accomplish after, we're running on this pent-up demand right now.
Mm. The home construction in there, that's one of them you really kind of don't want to see, because right now we talked to one of your colleagues last time around about how we need supply. We need more homes. We need more construction of those, not just residential, but also commercial real estate in some places. That would be a bad one to limit, is home construction, wouldn't it?
Oh, sure. I mean, and construction fuels a lot of the economy, because when you think about it, it not only affects jobs on the side, but it affects consumer spending, because you got to furnish these homes. It affects the financial industry, because you got to borrow money to buy these homes, and on and on and on.
One of the other losers would be what, government bonds too?
Well, I mean, if you're a bondholder and rates go up, and you know, unless you're planning on holding maturity, obviously your value goes down. That being said, as rates go up, there may be a little bit of money that floods out of the equity markets and into the bond markets if they think we've topped out in rates. I happen to think that, you know, this equity market historically has been fueled by the fact that bond rates are so low. Mm-hmm. And although it's been fueled by the anticipation of some of the Trump programs, that's still true, that people are in equities because they don't get the returns on the bond side.
One of the winners could possibly be technology. Why technology?
I think, you know, it's not about necessarily the earnings or the debt structure of a technology company. I think it's about the enthusiasm of you know, technology is new. And if we feel interest rates are going up, we feel that the economy is coming into a better place. And if we feel the economy is in a better place, I think people get excited about innovation and technology and things like that. And it's exactly why what you read, they say it'll be good for technology.
Yeah, I think no matter what the economy is doing, people like to have their iPhones and iPads and other gadgets and gizmos, right?
Well, I know. I like to have them. They like the new ones.
Right, right.
And it's become like food or shelter or energy, an iPhone. It's yeah. It's a staple now.
Yeah.
You're not, you know, if you come into an economic crisis, Steve, you're not going to sit and say, okay, I'm going to cut my phone out.
Yeah, it's going to be the last thing you get rid of. I can't imagine you waiting in line at an iPhone store, though, for the new iPhone.
Exactly right.
So you just wait until, like, what,
a
couple years
down? I don't even know what the number is, but I'm still using it.
Yeah. You know. Let's talk a little bit about Puerto Rico, Breck, because this is something that's sort of out there in the headlines. Declaring bankruptcy, one of the biggest governmental bankruptcies we've seen. How does this impact the landscape?
Well, I think it impacts it in a couple ways. I mean, the word bankruptcy is frightening to the average person, number one. And number two, as you say, it kind of sets a precedent for, I think the thing we think about is the city of Detroit.
Right.
And you go back to Detroit, and although Detroit hasn't fully recovered to the levels it was, it probably in retrospect was a good thing for the city of Detroit. What bankruptcy does is it kind of stops the music in a deteriorating situation. And when you stop the music, handled correctly, it can benefit both sides. And what I mean by that, it can benefit the state of Puerto Rico and its people, and it can also benefit the pensioners that are due pensions from the government, as well as the creditors. And what I'm saying by that is when things are going downhill in a company, and let's extrapolate that to something a lot larger, a country, and in Puerto Rico, we've had, I think, 20% decrease in jobs in the last 10 years, and I've read 10% of the population has moved. And the interesting thing about Puerto Rico is you're not dealing with immigration laws, because it's owned by the United States. So these people just walk into Florida, and they're one of us. Anyway, So the population coming out as quickly as it has is a logical thing. What I was going to say about the debt is when you're in a declining situation like that, whether it be and you can't pay your bills, I think people that are creditors or people that are about to receive pensions have to begin to realize that their payback or their benefit could go to zero. And what bankruptcy does is it allows you to stop it, and just to pick out a number, you might get 50 cents on the dollar. Well, that's better than nothing.
Well, let's focus more on those beautiful May flowers out there. What do you say? Forget about bankruptcy altogether.
Tulips are starting to suffer, and we've had a long tulip season.
I've never
understood tulips.
Have you ever seen it greener? It seems like it's just as green as it's ever been, right?
Well, we had... You know, you talk about construction, and we had a fabulous winter. Mm-hmm. I mean, I live in the city, and I'm watching the Wanda project go up, and they built all through the winter.
Yeah. We'll take it while we can get it, right?
Actually, you talk about tulip. I look at my tulips as the boats in the harbor.
Yeah.
And they're not, you know.
Not there yet.
The weather's not coming in for the boats in the harbor yet. Should happen in the next couple
weeks. Keep our fingers crossed. Breck, we'll see you next time, okay?
Okay, Steve, thanks.
Breck Hansen is the vice chair of the Associated Bank, also a former head of commercial real estate there. You can hear our thought leader conversations every Thursday right here on The Opening Bell, and you can hear past conversations at WGNradio.com on The Opening Bell page. Follow Associated Bank at Associated Biz on Twitter.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. It's 5:43. Thanks for being along with us this morning. New figures from the Federal Reserve show total household debt climbed dramatically in the first quarter to top the peak reached in 2008 before the housing market crashed. Severe economic downturn there that led to a historic recession. We thought we'd go over some of these numbers, put them a little in context. Jonathan Spicer is a business writer at Reuters news agency. He's on with us this morning. Jonathan, good morning.
Hi, Steve. Good morning.
Glad to have you here. Tell us how high the numbers are and why it's significant.
Well, yeah, it's a bit of a milestone, as you alluded there. The headline number that was released yesterday by the Federal Reserve Bank of New York is $12.73 trillion. And that's overall U.S. household indebtedness, covering mortgages, credit cards, auto loans, student debt, and the like. That's the headline number. And as you say, we haven't been here since 2008, just as the worst of the financial crisis and the recession was kind of taking hold. So, you know, it's been a long time coming. It's been 8.5 years, basically, of retrenchment and recovery away from the general climb in household debt, and here we are, brave new world.
Jonathan, I guess the first thing people will ask about these numbers, is this household, is it mortgages, or is it some other kind of debt?
Well, that's sort of one of the main reasons why this time might be a little bit different, or why Americans might have learned a little bit from the crisis. Mortgages still make up a big majority of that overall debt. But it has a smaller share than it had at the last peak in 2008. Taking up the slack is auto loans. Seeing quite a bit of auto loans, people. I mean, you see that in the numbers in the last few years. Record auto sales. That makes a lot of sense. Seeing that people maybe are taking or buying autos on credit, automobiles on credit, as opposed to maybe cash in previous decades. And student loans seems to be the one area potentially where you might have some red flags. That's taking up a larger share as well.
And when you say red flags or that student loan area, obviously lots of kids out of college are just drowning in the student loan. What are the red flags, Jonathan?
Well, yeah, there has been a lot of sort of concerns, you know, from economists, from people within the Federal Reserve, for example, about student debt. It's the one area where you see this. It's kind of a strange indicator. It sort of flows from delinquent to seriously delinquent. So basically from loans that are more than 30 days overdue to more than 90 days overdue. It's a metric economists look to try to get a handle on whether there's credit stress growing in the economy, whether we should be worried about another crisis. You know, last one was a mortgage market inspired crisis. Might the next one be a student debt inspired crisis? And so what we see there is with mortgages and credit cards, that slows into new delinquencies are pretty low. With students, though, it's the one area where very delinquent loans sort of has some increases over the last couple of years and few quarters, and so you know people are keeping an eye on that as a potential problem. But in general, I mean, it was interesting. I talked to a few economists yesterday after New York Fed, and in general, it was pretty benign. They were pretty sober about this. What we have really overall is more creditworthy, more older borrowers taking on this debt. You know, of course, lenders are just not giving away loans like they were a decade ago. And so therefore, we have overall less delinquencies, tighter lending standards, and people are feeling a lot more confident these days.
Yeah, a couple of parts of this, the auto loans part of this, it's not like housing debt, is it, where it could cripple the entire economy, or is it?
Well, I think that's to be determined. There are certainly some people who sort of hold up auto loans as one part of potentially, you know, kind of a domino effect situation. It all depends on the stability of lenders, of course, and of course some auto companies are the lenders themselves. But to your point, no, I mean it's not as big as mortgages. The loans just don't have that kind of characteristic that mortgages do. So there's not that kind of concern around the auto industry.
Yeah. You mentioned that lenders are being tight on borrowing here. Is that a good sign? Because last time in the 2008 crisis, that wasn't really the case, was it?
Right. You're just not seeing subprime borrowers anywhere near the extent that we had in 2006, 7, 8, that led to, the chaos on Wall Street and the recession that really gripped the whole world. We're seeing, we've had a lot of talk of the Dodd-Frank legislation that's now being reevaluated in Washington. That and other rules and regulations really push banks into a corner and really force them to tighten up their lending, hold more capital, and tighter liquidity standards. So we do have a whole new world of bank credit these days. And again, this is one of the things that the economists were sort of soberly applauding as they released these numbers, because it is the kind of headline, American debt, household debt now at pre-crisis levels that could make some people a little bit nervous.
All right. Jonathan, good of you to be with us this morning here on the Opening Bell. Thanks.
Happy to do it, Steve. Thanks.
Jonathan Spicer is a Reuters journalist covering Federal Reserve, the U.S. economy, Wall Street. You can find out more on Reuters, reuters.com. We're going to link out Jonathan's latest story here, too, on American debt.
You're listening to the Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, Dow futures off about 97 points now as we head toward the opening bell. S&P and NASDAQ futures are off about a third as well. Crude oil is lower by about 1.5%. Gold is higher. Silver is lower. Let's get the latest on commodities and agriculture now. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. Looking back at livestock trade at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, hogs ended mixed on profit-taking after hitting a three-month high. Cattle futures mostly higher, helped by expectations that U.S. consumers will buy more meat for outdoor grilling as the summertime temperatures move in. Also check on pork. The wholesale pork cutout gained $2.18 to $87.26 per hundredweight, and that's the highest level since last July. So at the close yesterday, the June lean hog contract up just 20 cents, but the June live cattle contract up 87, and the August feeder cattle contract up 35 cents. Turning to the grain trade yesterday at the Chicago Board of Trade, wheat moved higher. Part of the reason the dollar sagged, and that makes our commodities a little more popular in foreign markets. But again, unwanted rains hitting the plains. Wheat futures firming on the tumbling dollar and the unwanted rains heading for wheat country. And soybeans turned mixed after the July contract set a one-week top on good export demand. And so at the end of the day yesterday, July wheat was up 4.75 cents, July corn up 4 cents a bushel, July soybeans down 0.5 cent a bushel. Just a quick note that the Illinois Agricultural Roundtable is on schedule. You may want to mark it down Wednesday, June 7th at Bloomington, Illinois in the IAA building. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Thursday, May 18th, 2017. Labor Department reports today on the number of people who applied for unemployment benefits last week. Freddie Mac reports on this week's average U.S. mortgage rates. Walmart Stores reports quarterly financial results today. Walmart may tout its latest online shopping spree as it's expected to report another round of strong quarterly results. Alibaba, Ralph Lauren, Gap and Salesforce also release earnings today. The House Ways and Means Committee holds a hearing on tax reform. The Senate Banking Committee will hold a hearing on domestic and international policy. And the Federal Communications Commission will hold an open meeting on net neutrality. That will be the top of the agenda at the FCC today. Some of the things that could move the markets on this Thursday, May 18th, 2017.